Good morning. It is November 10th, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. And Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
Ahead on this edition of Weekend Ozarks, the effort to create Nerdies, a project designed to give young people not interested in sports a place to explore other hobbies and passions. We'll also visit a piece of land in Fayetteville that will soon be a teaching farm, letting young students get a hands-on approach to growing and eating healthy foods.
Plus, Christian Howes, one of the most critically acclaimed jazz musicians performing, talks to Robert Ginsberg about Howes' upcoming concert at Walton Arts Center and what's happening in our brain when we listen to that music we really like again and again. And again, we'll talk briefly to Lisa Margulis about her brand new book, On Repeat, How Music Plays the Mind. She's discussing the book this afternoon at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville.
But before all of what's ahead, a quick look at what's behind us. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis has his usual Sunday Week in Review.
Education was a recurring topic in our daily newscast this week, namely the release of annual school achievement data by the Arkansas Department of Education. The department announced this week that 137 public schools attained achieving status by meeting annual targets and test scores. Under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act program, schools are evaluated based on individualized school-by-school-based targets, not statewide targets. Dr. Tom Kimbrell, head of the Education Department, said that the needs improvement category is the largest, with 793 schools receiving this designation.
Improvement, and most of our schools are in some level of improvement, is not always a bad thing, as we've said over and over again. Every organization that I've ever been a part of, whether we were doing really, really well, whether we were doing mediocre, or whether we were doing poorly, there was a level of expectation of improvement. And we expect our exemplary schools to continue to improve.
In Northwest Arkansas, more than 50 schools are listed in the needs improvement category, but the Department of Education also released its list of exemplary primary and secondary schools in the state, a list that included 9 schools from across Arkansas. One of the schools included in the category is in the Arkansas River Valley and is a newcomer to the exemplary schools list. Dana Higdon is the superintendent of the Mulberry Pleasant View School District. She says that school leaders are overjoyed with the news of Marvin Primary School being classified as exemplary by the state.
For me, as a leader in the district, I am so pleased that the teachers, the faculty, and the staff, and the students are being rewarded for the hard work that they have put forth for several years. You don't get a turnaround like this just immediately. This has been coming for a while for them, and they have been very diligent in their efforts for quite some time. And I am so proud for them that they have reached this exemplary status.
In its 2012 accountability report, the Department of Education classified Marvin Primary School as a needs improvement focused school, which the department defines as a school with large persistent gaps between the overall student population and specific subsets of students that aren't meeting state achievement goals. Higdon says that staff at the school made many changes to raise its accountability status with the state. For instance, teachers reassessed the instruction material in their classes to make sure it was rigorous enough to meet state Common Core standards. The school also partnered with the Hot Springs-based firm The Learning Institute, which provided quarterly assessments on the strengths and weaknesses of the school's students.
Teachers were able to look at that and say, I must have really did a good job at exposing and teaching this point to the children, and then if there was an area of weakness, the teacher could step back and say, maybe I missed the mark with that, or, you know, turn around and work with the kids a little bit more. We were able to target weaknesses in the students. We could reteach, provide interventions, and make sure that we got everything covered at the level of rigor necessary for the children to achieve well.
Higdon says that the school's after-school tutoring programs, which are free for students to use, also helped raise the school's achievement level. But aside from education, renovation was also a repeated topic of this week's daily newscasts. Renovations began this week at buildings at the Wilson Park Pool in downtown Fayetteville. Carol Jones, a city park planner, says that the renovations being done to the pool buildings is part of a larger renovation effort at the facility that was originally built in the 1930s.
Last year, we renovated the exterior. We redid the pool surface and the deck, and so this is kind of phase two of the overall renovations, and it's for the actual buildings. The pool building, the concession building, and then there's a chemical pump storage building.
The renovation will bring better Americans with Disabilities Act accessibility to the pool and to the locker room and restroom facilities. Also, the entryway to the pool will be reconfigured to allow for better flow. Jones says that the overall upgrades at the pool will bring it closer to feeling like a new facility.
The pool house and buildings were last renovated in 1983. So this is a long overdue renovation on the buildings themselves. Now, the deck and the pool surface, I don't recall when those were last renovated before they were redone last year. But we received a lot of good feedback, especially on the pool surface itself. And I think people were satisfied with the deck as well. But it was just really long overdue, and just trying to keep a facility that everybody really, really loves in the city of Fayetteville.
The nearly $404,000 project, being paid for with parkland dedication funds, is expected to be complete by the beginning of the next swimming season. And the Springdale Public Library will be closed for 4 days beginning tomorrow for renovations of its own. Marsha Ransom, the library's director, says that the closure is necessary so that roughly 160 units of metal shelving can be replaced.
It's a very large project. It holds about 60,000 items, mostly books in this case. So when that shelving arrives, the old shelving has to be torn down and removed, and the books have to be taken off the shelves before that can be done. And then once the new shelving is installed, the books have to be replaced. So when we looked at that logistically, that's 4 days' work. And as unfortunate as it is to close the library, that's about the only way it's going to get done.
She says that replacing the current hodgepodge of old and mismatched shelving that wasn't replaced in the last renovation in 1999 is part of a larger ongoing renovation effort at the library.
We've recarpeted about half the building. We've repainted throughout. Just this morning, a crew came in and replaced some of our new, more decorative type light fixtures. And also, we're adding new light fixtures to our gallery area where we'll be installing a cafe in one side. So some of the renovations have been long coming, needed to do some of these things for a long time. When the economy was struck in 2008, was probably about the time that some of these things were needing to be done, but wasn't a good time to spend money.
While the renovation won't add extra space, Ransom says that it helps keep the library an attractive and appealing place for residents to spend their time. The overall renovation project will draw out at least through next spring. From the Harold and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.